It's been said that man can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, but only 8 minutes without air, and actually only about 1 second without hope. Without hope. We need hope in our lives. Our passage that we've been working through the last few weeks, Colossians 1:27, says this, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ is the hope of glory. This morning, as we continue to unpack that verse, we're going to move on to talk about that biblical hope. We're going to see that hope indeed has a name. The name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Psalm 62:5 says, "Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from Him." Now, we've talked about before how biblical hope is completely different than the way we use that word in modern language, the way the American person would use the word hope. We use the word hope in our everyday thinking as a way of wishful thinking, like, I hope this, I hope that. Now, we all have things we hope for. Now, I've had a hope for the last 50 years that hasn't come true. And it's really sad. And that is that the Minnesota Vikings would finally win a Super Bowl, okay? They've been breaking my heart for 50 years. That's where I grew up. And so, I mean, I grew up with Joe Capp and way back when the Vikings were first starting out and Fran Tarkin and all those guys. But that kind of wishful thinking, and that just really goes to show you those kind of hopes, what kind of value they have. And even if they had one, it wouldn't affect my life. I mean, I might smile and be happy for a few minutes, but those kind of things, those kind of hopes are really not useful in the long run. Putting too much emphasis on that can give you a disillusioned, broken heart. I know there's a lot of fans of various sports that have disillusioned, broken hearts because their hopes have been dashed, right? But biblical hope is not wishful thinking. Biblical hope is a confidence built on the character of God, as proven by His Word. I'm going to talk about three different ways we can have a confident hope based on Scripture this morning. The first one is we can have confident hope based on past promises that have been fulfilled. Past promises that have been fulfilled. This basis is our hope that God has kept His promises. We can know that He is going to fulfill the rest of them. He promised from the time of the fall of Adam, for instance, that He would provide a deliverer, and He did that. I want to take a look at Matthew chapter 1 this morning. In Matthew 1, there is a lineage. There's a lineage of Jesus, a lengthy genealogy that starts with Abraham and ends with Jesus. You know, there's a lot of unfamiliar names that are difficult to pronounce in that chapter, but the list is meant to impress us that God's promises will span the generations. They will span the generations. Now, what starts with Abraham in 2000 BC ends with birth of Christ in Bethlehem. Now, if you study that list, you're going to find that that list is full of messed up, flawed people. Starts out with Abraham. Abraham lied about his wife 2 times. He lied about his wife, right? Then it goes to Isaac. Isaac lied about Rebekah being his wife. Jacob. Jacob was a cheater. Judah. Judah slept with his daughter-in-law. He thought she was a prostitute. And either way, it's pretty bad, isn't it? David. He committed adultery and murder. There's Solomon on that list. Solomon had hundreds of wives. There's a guy named Manasseh. Manasseh is synonymous with evil. Manasseh sacrificed children of Judah to the idols, to pagan idols. Manasseh is the nastiest person in the Bible. The list also mentions four women. There's four women there. Tamar, she's the daughter-in-law of Judah that pretended she was a prostitute so he would sleep with her. There's Ruth, who is a Moabitess. What that means is she's not even Jewish. Then there's Bathsheba, who committed adultery with David. So there's three Gentiles. Did I say Rahab too? Rahab was a prostitute, by the way. There's three Gentiles, which means people that aren't Jewish, and that are involved three are involved in some sexual immorality, two are involved in prostitution, and one is an adulteress. And yet all four of these women are in the line that leads to Jesus. Now, when we look at that, what do we learn about that? What do we learn? That faulty folks are in the line of Jesus. We see that when taken together, this faulty folks teaches two things. That God keeps his promises no matter what. God keeps his promises no matter what. And God uses very flawed people in order to keep his promises. He works his plan out through flawed people. Why is that? Because flawed people, they're all he has to work with. That's all he's got. That's all he's got. So that list should give us hope, right? That's hope. In the end, the only name in that genealogy that really matters is Jesus. And everything that happened before still led to him. Still led to him. God orchestrated that centuries of history in order to bring about Jesus' birth at just the right moment. It had been planned from the very beginning. This multi-generational display of God's faithfulness should give us hope even as we move into an uncharted future in our lives. What God has done for others, he will also do for us. That's why we can have hope in God's past promises. God's past promises. But you know, we can also have hope because of God's present help. Because of God's present help, we can find hope that comes from the Lord. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. Ever-present help in time of trouble. It's comforting that God uses the word in there in times of trouble, right? Because we have to be in trouble before we really think we need his help. But trouble isn't too hard for us to find, is it? It seems to come all the time. It's around every corner. Secondly, when we're in the midst of trouble, God sends his help and proves to be our refuge and our strength. Sooner or later, we're all going to come to a situation we didn't expect, we couldn't have foreseen, we didn't want, we didn't ask for, and we can't postpone. Amen. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. All right, we got our life, we think it's all lined up. We're going in the right direction, and then one day everything changes. Everything can change like that. Suddenly we've come to a bend in the road. Maybe we had an accident that crushes our hand. Brother Gary. Maybe we lose our job. Maybe we lose a loved one. Maybe we lose our health. Now life is moving in a different, unwanted direction, isn't it? What are we going to do now? Will our faith survive? Will it survive? Where is God when life takes a difficult turn in a new direction? He's right there for us, amen? When we come to a bend in the road, we got to remember that nothing is wasted with God. Even the bends of life have a divine purpose. And that purpose is to turn us to him. To turn us to him. There was a letter written by a famous author, Malcolm Muggeridge, to his friend Bill Buckley. As an old man, Bill, looking back on one's life, it's one of the things that strikes you most forcibly that the only thing that's taught one anything is suffering. Not success, not happiness, not anything like that. The only thing that really teaches one what life is about, the joy of understanding, the joy of coming in contact with what life really signifies, is suffering and affliction. That's the end of that letter. But that's not really what we want to hear, is it? That's really not what we want to hear. You know, I heard about a little girl who, after Sunday school, her folks asked her, "What did you learn today?" She learned, "God never says oops." God never says oops. Now, that's comforting to know, because we live in an oops world, don't we? Where mistakes are made all the time, often by well-meaning people. That's very possible this morning that Christmas reminds you of your own problems, of things in your life, maybe that bend in the road, that change that happened, and you wish it wasn't there. Maybe you even feel like giving up this morning. Maybe you do. Now, I want you to think about two things here, two truths to hang on to. God is at work engineering your circumstances in ways you cannot see. That's the first one. He's at work engineering your circumstances in things, ways that you cannot see. And number two, he can and will forge out of what seems hopeless good. He forges good out of what seems hopeless and evil. He just does. There's great hope in the help God supplies in the midst of our troubles, if we but turn to him. We can also have biblical hope because of God's promise of future glory. Future glory. There is great hope in what the future holds for the children of God. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." 1 John 3:2 says, "Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Hope means better days are coming for the follower of Jesus. Things won't always be the way they are now. If there is no hope in the future, this world can be a terrible place. It really can. Today there's a lot of suffering. There's suffering in this room. There's a lot of pain. There's pain in this room. There's hatred. There's violence. There's lawlessness. And there's a lot of brokenness. A lot of brokenness. This is God's world, but it's not the world he made. It's God's world that's been deeply marred by the results of sin. Amen. Before God is finished, the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible. Living believers will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. Regardless of what many people will try to tell you, this life is not the end. It's not the end. Now, the mind that's been ravaged by Alzheimer's will be restored. Amen? Cancer and all sickness will be completely forgotten. The pain of separation from loved ones will have been obliterated. Sin will be defeated, and death itself will be destroyed. Now, that day has not come yet, but it's coming. Amen? It's coming. You can count on it. Counting on it is hope. It's biblical hope. Better days are on the way. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Light from the manger. Hope indeed has a name this morning, Jesus Christ. Hope invaded the world 2,000 years ago at Bethlehem. Hope is available. It's available, but only to those who will humble themselves and bow at the feet of Jesus in faith. As Pastor Cheryl said earlier, someday every knee will bow, but for many it will be too late. For many it will be too late, because this life is where we get the chance to do that. Now, some people think about Jesus once a year at Christmas time. Deeply touched, they may resolve to know him personally. But then the moment passes, and the pressures of a new year just lead them away. Maybe they think, I can't do this. You know, there's a danger in coming near to Christ but never really making a full commitment. There's a big danger in that. Sooner or later, you've got to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Amen? You've got to do it yourself. Nobody can do it for you. And every time you put it off, it becomes harder to do. It becomes harder to do. You resist the Holy Spirit, it will become harder for you. So is there room in your heart today for Jesus? Will you bow before him? There's a lot of needs represented this morning. I'm going to ask some people to come to the altar to pray with those who have needs. We're just going to take a few minutes right in the middle. Pastor Cheryl's going to come up and share more on hope. But we want to give you an opportunity to pray with someone first about any need that may be in your heart. Mary, if I could have you come over here, or Dennis, that'd be good. And so if you have a need this morning, whatever it may be, maybe there's a physical need, maybe there's an emotional need, maybe there's a spiritual need, maybe you want to surrender your heart to Christ this morning. Maybe the Lord's been talking to you about that. Just take a few minutes and come and pray with someone this morning.
Bow our hearts before him. Bring your need. Don't be ashamed. Don't be intimidated to come and say, I need prayer this morning. My heart is broken over this situation. My body is broken. Relationships have been broken, and I'm just not feeling it this holiday season. The joy has just escaped me. I don't have that peace that I long to have. Come to this altar for prayer. Such an important time that Pastor and I just felt it was really necessary for us to just pause right here and allow for people to come to this altar where there's hope and there's grace. There's so much grace. There's so much mercy. Thank you, saints. Thank you for praying for those that are coming forward. Thank you for not hesitating to bring that care before the Lord humbly. The Lord said, I am near to the brokenhearted. I'm near and I save those that are crushed in spirit. And this is a chance for you this morning to just agree. Thank you for coming. Thank you for praying. Thank you for being open to what the Lord wants to do in and through these little broken vessels. into my heart, Lord. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in. There's room. I make room for you today. I want you to stay. I want you to revive me. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to open the eyes of my understanding so that I can see the light of your truth. Thank you for your mercy, Jesus, that you do not give me what I deserve. Thank you that you lavish your grace because of the riches found in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, you've captured our hearts. You've captured our hearts today with the light of your truth, that you are our hope. We cannot go one more breath without the hope of your glory, that you came, that you're here, and that you're coming. I will trust the Lord, even when he doesn't do things the way I want him to. I will trust him anyway. I will serve the Lord, even when he doesn't do things the way I want him to. I will serve him anyway. I will love you, Lord. I will not lean on my understanding of a situation or why things happened the way they did or why things didn't happen the way I had hoped. Because you are big picture God. You are God and I am not. You are sovereign and I am not. You are all wise and all knowing and all seeing, and I am not. I will trust the Lord at all times. I will trust the Lord at all times. I will trust the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be coming out of my heart, off of these lips. I will trust the Lord. I will trust the Lord. I choose today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you say that today? You choose that. As for me and my house, they will serve the Lord. You prophesy over your home and your household. You speak God's truth. You come in alignment with what God says. You may be seated. Hope has a name. And what is that name? Yeah. Hope came. Hope is here. And hope is coming. I'm saying hope is coming. So I need a little audience participation. You knew this time was coming, didn't you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so help me out. How many of you are list makers? Hold your hands up. What is that? What kind of a personality is that? What's that? Okay, I had a friend who made a list for every single thing, every appointment, every single thing. And one time, she forgot a meeting because she didn't have it on her list. Okay, so I was like, a lot of good list making does if you forget to put it on your list. And she was teaching on that. She was teaching on being organized and having lists, and she forgot the appointment because it wasn't on her list. Did you guess? I'm not a list maker. Because I think that if you don't use it, you lose it. So I just use it. How many are like me? You just use it. Okay? Okay? No. Okay. Well, you know, I just put it in here. But there are an occasion when here gets so full and fragmented and there's just so much going on that I'll grab just maybe a little stick-it, like a little thing for a little list, okay? That's my default, just little, but not list, like, okay. So what are your lists? Do you have shopping lists? You list makers, talk to me. Okay, how many do honey-do lists? You know what? I just realized I'm a list maker because I give him honey-do lists. I'm a list maker. I've just crossed over. I do. But it's a list for you. That's true. So you can check it off. Okay. Okay, how many, if you're going on a vacation, do you write a list of all the things you need to pack? Oh, I can be going on a two-week vacation, and the morning of, my mom and dad call me, and they say, have you packed yet? I'm like, no, I got a half hour. It'll be fine. They start packing like 3 weeks before. They make a career of it. I'm like, really? Really? Ugh. Okay, how many are like the goal setter lists? Like you've got your week goal, you've got your 5 week goal, you've got your 5 year goal. Any of you guys? Okay. So I have a son. My sons are list makers. They are. And Jesse is single. He lives in Portland. He goes to school and he works. And when he comes home, like he will now for the holidays, he'll maybe bring some things that he needs me to help mend, like a button that needs to go on a sweater or the something that's needing sewing. And he was talking to me the other day and he says, you know, Mom, when I come down, I want to pick up that one shirt. That, you know, that button that I had for you to sew on that one shirt. I'm missing that shirt. So I'll pick that up when I come home. And I said, Jess, I don't even know where that shirt is. Could I just buy you a new shirt? Where was the shirt from? Could I just buy it for you? He's like, Mom, that was my favorite shirt. It's always the favorite shirt. Okay. I said, well, Jess, I'll tell you, it's in the laundry room somewhere, but the laundry room is just my catch-all right now. And it's just really bad. The house looks great, but the laundry room, not so great. So he is driving and talking. I'm sure he was legal. I'm sure it was hand-free. But he says, okay, I'm putting that down on my list. Help Mom clean the laundry room when I come home for Christmas. For reals. I mean, literally, like, everything. List. Well, okay. Kids make lists for Santa. Right? You've probably gotten that little list because you help Santa out. How about prayer lists? Do you make prayer lists? Anybody? Okay, I'm saying. Okay, we got the nodding. Nodding's good. Okay, prayer list. Well, I was thinking, what if, okay, instead of stuff from the Lord, like the new house or car or job or dog, or even the spiritual things on that list for healings and salvations, what if on our list that we make, us list makers, whether it's like this or in here, what if we had a list for the Lord, and it was like, I want your character quality, Lord. My list says, I want to love like you. Okay? I want to be kind like you. I want to persevere. I want to be bold like you. I want to have your joy, your peace. We've got the character of Christ is our list. Wow. You know these trials? James 1, the Bible has a chapter, and it says in that book of James, that these trials are to conform us and to make us like Christ. We're not just to pray him away. We're to say, while we're going through this, on my list is that I'll develop long suffering, which means to suffer long. How many have that on your list? Gary does! Woo! High five! Gary, this has been a year, but we're watching the miracle of the Most High God bring that hand that they wanted to. 2 years ago, they said they would have cut that hand off after that injury. But you were in the right place at the right time with the right surgeon and the almighty surgeon. And we are watching those fingers come back to life to the glory of God. Give him praise, church. Do you know today from your heart? Not here. From here. Do you know that God is for you? He's on your side. He is your refuge. And Pastor Tim, he is your strength. Yes. He's your counselor. You need wisdom? He's the mighty counselor. How about comfort? You need the comfort? I do. Sign me up for some comfort. Well, that's found in the Most High. He's my guide. And he wants us today to lean in, look up, and ask away. Put it on the list. I need your peace right now. I need your joy, Lord. I need your hope. I need your character. Say it. Pray it. Hope is here for us today. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Pastor began reading Psalms 62, and I'm going to go a little further, 5 through 8. Yes, my soul. My soul is my will, my mind, and my emotions. My soul, it finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock. He's my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. Trust in him at all times, my people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. You can just say, good. Thank you. Anything right there. That'd be a good time to say, yes. Yes. God is for you and me. What could possibly hinder us? What could possibly smother and put out hope in our lives? Well, I started to make a list of what could possibly smother or hinder and put out hope in my life. I literally did. I thought, okay, I'll make a list. And I came up with, well, doubt. Doubt would kind of smother hope. I didn't believe. Ignorance. I don't know the word. I don't know his character. I don't even know that he's for me. I don't even know of his promises, because by not knowing that, I'm ignorant, and that would put out hope. Unbelief. But I think the biggest one was fear on my list. Fear, kind of all boiled down to fear. Fear that things won't work out. Fear that God won't answer my prayers. Fear that things will never change. I thought about that, change. And just as a side note, God's word, he says that we reap what we sow. God won't be mocked. Sometimes we're waiting on God to change things, but he's waiting on us to change. You know, it could take 40 years. It did for a few million people. It took 40 years. And they never inherited what God had, because they grumbled and they complained about their situation. God will wait. He's got more patience. He'll wait. He'll out patient you. If there's a contest, he wins. He will wait, and he will wait. He will wait for us to change. That's the whole definition of insanity, you guys. Remember? Doing everything the same, not doing anything different and expecting different results. That's insanity. We've got to change our ways. Stop complaining. Stop ignoring him. Start obeying him. Yes. Amen. Amen. The change may be held up by me and my disobedience. Our faith in Christ is shown by our actions, what we do, and maybe even more importantly, what we say. My faith is shown by what I say, how I talk. Oh, that'll never happen. Oh, he'll never change. Really? Faith is God will soften a heart. God will open eyes. God will heal. God will restore. Say it. Faith speaks truth. Speak it out. Come into agreement with God's word. What does God say about it after all? Not what man says, but what does God say? God's word says in Romans 8:24, we are saved by trusting. It's an action. Trusting means looking forward to getting something we don't yet have. For a man who already has something doesn't need to hope and trust that he will get it. Right? If you already have it, you're not hoping for it. You already have it. So what are you looking forward to getting? What's on your list? Let's go back to our God list. Are you hoping for more self-control? I am. A little more kindness? Sure. A little more gentleness? Well, I have good news. Hope has come. Hope is here for us. He will change our lives. He will change our hearts. He brings out the character of Jesus the Christ in me. Psalm 62 says in the Message version, God, the one and only, I'll wait as long as he says. I'll just wait. Everything I hope for comes from him. So why not? Why not wait? He's solid rock under my feet. He's breathing room for my soul. He's an impregnable castle. I'm set for life. My help and my glory are in my God. He's granite strength and he's a safe harbor kind of God. So trust him absolutely. People, lay down your lives on the line for him. God is a safe place to be. Amen. Amen. Words of hope. So what is getting in your way? What's the obstacle? What is getting in your way from having hope in what Jesus Christ has done and is doing and is going to do? Remove those hindrances today. Remove the worry, the fear, the unbelief, the ignorance. It's a choice. Everything is a choice. There's an absolute fabulous picture that Eugene Peterson, who authored the Message version of the Bible, puts in Romans 8. And I tell you, I read this out loud to Pastor Tim. I got so excited with this visual that he gives us. Hang on to your seats about this beautiful, fabulous picture about waiting. If you are in the waiting room right now, it's been 10 years, 20 years, some of you praying for years, decades. You're in the waiting room right now. I want you to get really excited about this picture. Romans 8, 24 through 25. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. Amen? That is why waiting doesn't diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy. Isn't that beautiful? As she waits, the expectancy gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I saw an expectant mom at the Dollar Tree the other day. And I knew she had to be really, really close to the day. She was large after waiting. And I just said, you know, she looked adorable. I mean, so cute. She was like one of the cutest pregnant mamas. And I said something to her. I says, you are such a beautiful expectant mom. And she says, tomorrow's my due date. Don't you know? Hurry up and get home. But that expectancy, that waiting brought such a beauty. So here we are with this beautiful picture. We are a bunch of men and women pregnant with expectancy. It is a beautiful thing to be waiting on the Lord. Of all the people, not man, but the Most High God, to be waiting on Jesus for whatever it is. That's a beautiful picture. And the more you wait, the more large that expectancy becomes. It is going to be amazing. I have been praying since late 90s. I began to study and read about revival. Revival of God's church 100 years ago and the path of revivalists and how taverns were shut down and brothels were shut down and just how God, just people on the street would fall because of the presence of the Most High God. I mean, true revival when heaven touches earth. Yes. So I've been expectant for like about 16 years now for revival of this earth. That is groaning in anticipation of their coming King and Creator. I'm kind of large right now. But it's growing. My expectancy for waiting on the Lord to revive us, Norma, to bring back the prodigals. I'm expectant, not because of me, but because hope is coming. Because hope came, and hope is here. Amen. You guys look really good in maternity. I'm just saying, you look so adorable. Anybody traveling for the holidays? Anybody? Anybody? You guys all staying home? You traveling? Anybody? Well, we know Gideon is home for the holidays. We're going to celebrate him for lunch, and you're all welcome to stay. Whether you brought anything or not, it doesn't matter. We got the best cooks in town, and they just know how to serve it up. He came by plane. But we can travel planes, trains, automobiles when we go home for the holidays. Welcome home. And, you know, I was just thinking that just as there are hindrance to our hope, there are vehicles. There are vehicles. Faith is a vehicle. And if you're going to travel to Europe, do you want to go by car and boat, or do you just want to get there by plane? Okay. I just want to get there. I want to get there. I want to get there now. It's still going to be a long trip, but I want to get there this fastest way. You want a fast way to hope? Do you want a fast vehicle to hope? Trust. Trust will get you there. Expectancy, anticipation is making me wait. How many are old enough to remember the commercial? Was it Heinz? Was it Heinz ketchup? Okay, and they had that juicy burger. I'm just saying, that juicy burger. And they had the ketchup bottle poured, and it took like forever. Anticipation. Anticipation is making me wait. It's keeping me wait. Yay. Okay, you're waiting for that. You just wanted to say, just do this. Just get the fork or knife in there and just whew, get that ketchup out, okay? Anticipation. But you knew it was going to eventually come. I want you to see that. I had taught that in a Sunday school class in Albany, adult Sunday school class. Dr. Neal, you might have even been in that class back in the day. I was talking about anticipation and waiting and ketchup, and this is the honest, honest truth. I gave my friend a ride home that day in Albany. What do we got, about 50,000 people, a few neighborhoods, a few blocks, a few places to turn. I come down her road after teaching this, and I'm looking at the cars on either side of the street, parked in front of their homes, and somebody the night before, this is the truth, had taken ketchup and squirted it all over people's cars, all down the block. And I was like, Jesus, anticipation is making me wait. You're coming. It was the coolest thing to see all of this ketchup that had come all over this little block. But to me, it was just like the Lord just like, I'm coming. Just as you were expecting that ketchup, I'm coming with my presence. Get excited. Jesus is coming for you and for me. He's faithful. Romans 15:13. I love to put this in cards and letters. This is my prayer over you today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Believing is your vehicle. Believing is your jet plane. Through the experience of your faith. He prays that the power of the Holy Spirit, by that power you will abound in hope. And you will overflow in confidence in his promises. Amen. That is my prayer for you this day, that you would abound in all hope. Hope came, hope is here, and hope is coming. I'll tell you what, having the perspective of heaven and our eternal destiny, and that our award awaits, that's a game changer. That has changed me, that this suffering is not in vain, that there is a day when I will present to the Most High God a crown of glory. For the suffering, for the trials, for all that he has seen us through, there is a day coming when we will lay those crowns at his feet. Perspective has changed my game. Sorrow will cease. Death will be no more. Pain will be gone. Amen, sister. In closing, 1 Peter 3. What a God we have. How fortunate we are to have him. This Father is our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead. And by the way, honey, we can celebrate Easter any day, any Sunday. We can be celebrating Easter. So that was perfectly fine. Celebrate Easter and Christmas the same day. Amen? Let's celebrate that one every week. Okay. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life. And we have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping watch over us, careful watch over us, and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. Let's stand. We have hope for changed hearts and lives. We have strength for today, and we have bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is his faithfulness unto us. Lord, we make a list today of how we want to be more like you in this life, in this world. When trials are going to come at us, and you said, look up for your redemption draws nigh, when you see and hear of the labor pains of this earth and of life. You've asked us to look up because you're coming. You're coming soon. Today, Lord, our hope is in you and in nothing less. I want to read to you in closing the words to a hymn. Keep your hearts bowed before him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and Jesus' righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on the name of Jesus. It's on Christ, the solid rock, that I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I can't see him. Well, then I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within that veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood, they support me in the whelming flood. When every earthly prop gives way, he then is all my hope, and he's all of my stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then be in him found. I want to be clothed in his righteousness alone. I want to faultless stand before his throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Where you're standing right now, can you say, I'm standing on a rock that will not move. I'm standing in a safe place, in a safe harbor where there's refuge for my will, my mind, and my emotions, my soul. I found him. He's my anchor when all around me is raging. My ship has an anchor, and his name is Jesus. Hope has a name today. He's trustworthy. In this quiet hour, I would ask that you make this right, make this time. This is a margin time. This is a margin time for the Lord. I put a stake in the ground that Jesus, my hope was going to be found in you. No more fear. No more ignorance. I'm going to get in your word so that I know your character. I know what you say. You're trustworthy. Put a stake in this ground this day. I think it's like about the first day of winter. But when things get dark and cold, that's when the roots are established. They stand firm through this time because of you, Jesus. Thank you. Put that stake in the ground, saints. Come to him and know that he is faithful. Thank you. Jesus, we just thank you now for a time to participate in family and partake of food and fellowship and fun. I thank you for these saints, these set apart ones for holiness. I thank you for friends and guests today. that we can fellowship one with the other. In our lives, in our fellowship, Lord, be thou glorified. On this Christmas holiday when we worship the King of Kings, may there be such a stirring in our hearts that we will be Jesus with skin on to those around us. We will be the best commercials you've ever made.